Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of the prophet Sirach. The Lord is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest until it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor.
The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress he rescues them.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat, and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance, and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, and thank you for joining us this week. Today I'm here with Father Brian Kuhl. Father Kuhl is the chaplain for the University of Rochester's Newman community.
Hello.
Father Kuhl, as this is your first time on our podcast, I'd like you to offer any reflections or insights that you have on the readings today.
Oh, I like the readings very much this week, Brian. They are very powerful, and all of them are very, very powerful. In particular, the first reading from Sirach, I was really struck by the word wail. And the Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan. And it just really highlights for me that God knows our inner selves, our inner beings, our inner feelings and emotions and our needs that we feel. That God is sometimes distant. But here it really says God is not deaf to us and to our spirit and to our soul. So that really caught me as we proclaim the readings this week.
Yeah, I think it's a good point there, too, is the understanding from that line for me of kind of the way that God is with us in the midst of our suffering, which a lot of times I know that the fact that there's suffering or evil in the world can cause a crisis of faith for a lot of people, really. They wonder, how can a good God, you know, cause bad situations or permit even bad situations to occur? Right. But kind of what we learn from this line is that God is with us in the midst of all of our sufferings, in our wailing. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to us.
Right.
And we can kind of attach our own sufferings to the suffering of Christ as well. And I think that's a real powerful insight about our God. A lot of times in, I think, the ancient traditions, people would see the people who are suffering and oppressed or poor and think that this was some kind of a punishment from God, or God had somehow abandoned these people. And what we learn from Scripture is, in fact, that's not the case, but that God is with us, He hears us, and He's with us in the midst of our suffering.
Right, and I think that's the important message of Christianity. Christianity says that God's not going to necessarily take away our suffering, but God is with us, is always with us, no matter what happens in our lives. That's the promise, that God says, I will be your people, you will be my people, and I will be your God. And that faithfulness that God has with us extends right to the depths of our souls and our beings, regardless of the suffering that we incur. And we certainly, as you reference, follow that in the life of Christ, and Jesus himself, in his own suffering. God did not abandon him, and God does not abandon us.
Right. Well, for me, what struck me in these readings in particular was the gospel reading, where you've got the Pharisee and the tax collector, and just the contrast between those two characters there. The Pharisee's prayer is kind of this really self-serving prayer, kind of a, in a sense, he's saying, you know, look at me, look how good I am, and I'm so glad I'm not like this guy over here.
Yeah.
Whereas the tax collector comes and he's, you know, much, with a lot more humility, and recognizes his own sinfulness before God. And we might need to clarify for some of our audience that the tax collectors in the time of Jesus were viewed with probably about as much favoritism as maybe the IRS is today. Yes, a group that nobody really likes. But they were also viewed as sinners, too, within the society. The Jewish people kind of viewed the tax collectors as kind of the bottom of the rung, so to speak, on the ladder.
They weren't good people, that's for sure.
That's right. And so I think that when we see, you know, somebody like this, and he's humbling himself and kind of almost, you know, admitting his own sinfulness and his own unworthiness before God. And I think it's kind of a reminder for us of our own unworthiness before God, and how that needs to really be the attitude that we take in our prayer. It's not, it shouldn't be this self-righteous thing.
Right. Well, there's the difference that I pick up here for myself is that this righteous being, this person who is making a judgment, they're making a judgment about others, and they make this judgment before they approach God. And we can all get caught up in making judgments, who's bad, who's good, who's in, who's out, who dresses appropriately, who doesn't. You know, drivers on the road, our family, we can all get caught up in making judgments quite readily about other people. And I think the tax collector is held up for us as a model of saying, you know, as you enter into prayer, one of the requirements of prayer is to be a person who is humble and just goes to God with this complete openness to God. And we're not open if we're making judgments. We're not open if we're being self-righteous. We're not open if we think we know what's best, what's not best. Going to God in prayer means that we're willing to let go of everything and just be in the presence of God. And once we're in that presence, we're like that tax collector. We will experience that sense of humbleness before God and be able to hopefully utter those great words that this tax collector utters. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yeah, one thing you spoke of, kind of the openness to God too, and kind of giving everything over to God, and that really touches the reading from St. Paul, the second reading, where he talks about pouring out and the libation of himself. And I think that's a real powerful image, that ultimately I think that is the call of our own Christian faith, is that we pour ourselves out for God, that it's not, you know, living for ourselves, but living for God.
And I think you're right, one of the first steps to being able to do that is to recognize your own sinfulness and therefore not making the judgments of other people on other people, but, you know, kind of realizing that you too stand, or I too stand, unworthy before the Almighty.
Very, very true. Yeah, and Paul's letter is beautiful too, writing to Timothy, of course, the wonderful line that I'm sure we've heard before, "I have competed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Wonderful sentence there about hopefully we can all utter at the time of our demise and time of our ending of life here on earth. But Paul is really encouraging Timothy and encouraging others who will likewise suffer persecution to keep the faith in the midst of their persecution. And as you pointed out, his very first line, "I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand." So being, "I am already being poured out like a libation," really just uttering the words of that I am opening myself up to God and the Spirit of God. Despite my suffering, I am willing to be poured out and be spent as God invites me to be spent. So I think that's a great reflection. All these readings seem to come together this week. Mm-hmm. And it's a great reflection about, you know, the Christian call and to follow Christ and even in the midst of suffering, to have that sense of openness to God's Spirit and God's grace and being humble before that, not getting caught up in other concerns and making judgments and those types of things upon other people and ourselves. So really just to be open to the Spirit of God in our lives. And then to be able to just say those words at the end of our lives. Wouldn't it be great? "I have competed well, I have finished a race, and I have kept the faith." I think that's the ultimate call of the Christian person.
Yeah, and that's an important part there too, they're talking about keeping the faith too. A lot of times it's real easy to start off a race or something with a lot of energy. You think kind of using the analogy of a marathon or something, but finishing it can start to get harder. Hey, don't point at me. Father Cool's here at studio just pointing at me here.
Well, he is wearing a Notre Dame shirt. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, that's true. But I mean, and using that analogy even, we can sit here, they have to keep the faith. keep playing game after game as hard as it is for them this season.
And Syracuse is the same way. So you're right. You're absolutely right.
But I think that is an image for us in our own Christian life. It's not, a lot of times we like to sit back sometimes and pat ourselves on the back for a job well done, but we also have to constantly remember that our job really is never done, and while as long as we're here in this life, our job is not done. Father Mark Brewer, who's often on the podcast, one of the lines he likes to quote a lot is, "It's not done until you've seen Jesus. Until you see, if you don't see Jesus, you're not done yet." So, I think that's a good line to keep in mind, that it's not something where we want to stop and, you know, start to pat ourselves on the back.
Right, right.
The other thing is, I think the psalm also fits in beautifully with our readings today, talking about, I mean, where we've been kind of talking about this God who is with the lowly and the poor, and of course the refrain from the psalm, "The Lord hears the cry of the poor," once again, you know, just echoes that whole theme of that our God is not deaf to the sufferings of the world. And, you know, while we might not be able to understand the reasoning for evil and suffering in the world, we can't attribute it to God having abandoned these people. I think that's a clear theme that we learn through the scriptures, is that it's God has not abandoned us in any way. And in fact, we'd learn it's really impossible for God to abandon us. But furthermore, I think it can be a challenge for us too this week, because of course our call is to be converted so that we're more Christ-like, we're more God-like. And we can sit here and ask ourselves, if the Lord hears the cry of the poor, in order for us to be more Christ-like, that would mean we too need to hear the cry of the poor. And I think that's a good point for reflection. How well do we hear the cry of the poor? How often do we hear the wail of the orphan or the the cries of...
Well, the suffering of other people.
Right.
Yeah, sure. And I think that's a great point. And the church uses the great line of preferential option for the poor. Above all else, we should have a preferential option for the poor. God has that preferential option for the poor. So before anything else, how are the poor faring and how are the poor living? And we can all get caught up in a society, especially a consumeristic society, that we make judgments upon the poor, that they're not working hard enough, or they just need to do this better, do that better, and they can get themselves back together well enough that they don't need help. And so, but that's not about the Christian message. Christian's message is, what's their cry? What's their need? And we need to always put that before ourselves, just as God does. And you're right, Brian, Scripture's full of those examples where God is in Christ, is putting the poor, the vulnerable, the widow, the orphan, the outcast, addressing their needs first. And I think that's a good reflection for us. How are we doing it? We're fast approaching the Christmas season, perhaps too fast, but it's a good opportunity for us in the middle of October here to think about, how are we being generous? And are we being generous in the middle of October, or are we just waiting for the Christmas season?
No? Yeah, and that's true in our culture. A lot of times we do tend to have that one season of giving, and then it kind of, the spirit goes away for the rest of the year. And I think that this can be a call to constantly, you know, it's got to be a constant theme. It, again, it's kind of like St. Paul. We can't just pat ourselves on the back after Christmas and say, oh, well, we were real generous this season, and, you know, wait till next Christmas until I'm generous again. Yep. It's got to be this constant thing that really washes us over, this libation of us continually pouring ourselves out. And speaking of pouring ourselves out, I can see that we are pouring out of time here on the podcast. So we thank you for joining us this week, Father Kuhl.
To be here.
Hopefully we'll have you on the podcast again at some point. I know you spent some time at St. Mary's, and I think most of our listeners are St. Mary's parishioners.
So. Oh, it's a great parish in St. Mary's in Canandaigua. Wonderful place.
Yeah. So anyways, we hope that we'll have you back on the podcast at some point. We hope that all the listeners will be back and next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.
God bless y'all.